When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another child. I call her my daughter. That's how close we are. I've been in her life since she was born. With that being said, I take her everywhere, as many times as I can, as often as I can. That's how close-knit we are. This trip to
That's
Hawaii,
so nice. I wish it just ended right there.
Yeah. It would have. I mean, can I tell you?
It would have been so perfect. That would have felt so good.
This is the plaintiff, Tanya Graham. She says she and the defendant have a son together, and he has a daughter from another woman. In the summer of 2012, she was going to take her son and the defendant's daughter on a cruise to Hawaii. The defendant was supposed to reimburse her for his daughter's portion, but hasn't. And here they are in the People's Court. She's suing for $1,623.39, the defendant's daughter's portion of the trip. This is the defendant, William Wells. He says he paid the plaintiff $1,900 for the trip because their deal was he would help her pay as much as he could. He never agreed to pay an exact amount. After all, this was a trip she planned, she went on and enjoyed, and he's given her more than his fair share of money for it. He's accused of hitting rough seas with an ex.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated. Come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn.
Thank you.
You got it.
Tanya Graham?
Yes, ma'am.
You are suing the father of your son, William Wells, for $1,623.39 that you say he still owes you for a vacation he was supposed to pay for his child.
That is correct.
Okay. Not the child you share together, but his child with another woman.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Tell me what happened.
Your Honor, I belong to a travel group. In 2012...
What's a travel group?
We organize getaways,
okay.
Cruises, inclusive trips, bus rides, anything. So every year we get a breakdown to do a cruise for the following year. Just to give a little history about me and the defendant, we have a son together. He's 21 now. He has a daughter from another relationship.
He has a daughter.
The defendant has a daughter from another relationship after me.
Okay.
We broke up not too long after my son was born, but we've remained great co-parenting unit.
That's great.
We communicate perfectly. He has never done anything to disown or neglect his child, nothing to that. So when he had a daughter, my son grew up with his daughter.
Son grew up with his sister.
Correct.
Okay.
So everything was the same. My son would go to his house on the weekends. He saw his father every weekend. His daughters come to my house. It's almost like I have another child. I call her my daughter. That's how close we are. I've been in her life since she was born. With that being said, I take her everywhere as many times as I can, as often as I can. That's how close-knit we are. This trip to
Hawaii.
That's
so nice. I wish it just ended right there.
Yeah. It would have. I mean, can I tell you?
It was so perfect. That would have felt so good.
Your Honor, I couldn't tell you in a billion years that I would ever think I would go through this with the defendant. That's how close we were.
Okay.
In any event, we planned the trip for 2012. I explained to him I could not afford to take me, my son, and her. But I told him I couldn't afford to do all three of us. It was Hawaii. So
it was Hawaii and then a cruise from Hawaii.
It was. We flew to Honolulu and then we cruised 8 days. And it was going to be great. He agreed.
Not
he
agreed to what?
He agreed to pay for her portion of the trip.
How much was her portion of the trip?
It was the $1,835 plus the airfare.
$1,835 was for the cruise?
Was for the cruise entirety.
And the airfare?
I was able to get the airfare for $965.
Did he approve that?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so go on.
So everything was going fine. He was making monthly payments up until July of 2013. And that was because he lost his job. We, at the time, we kind of sidetracked off of the trip and concentrated on his unemployment and were
You concentrated on his unemployment?
I did. I really did.
Like, meaning what? What
I
did
mean,
you do?
Like, I was asking him, well, were you looking here? I'm looking at job postings. I'm emailing him places. I signed him up. I signed him up to a Facebook group for retired MTA workers called Getting People Back to Work. I signed him up to that group because...
What, are you with somebody now?
Yes.
Me? Yeah, I've been with the same woman for all that time, 20
right,
years.
All that time. And she, how do you two get along?
We're great. We're great.
I wish she was here. I would like to get the full experience.
We're great.
I know people. I have a cousin like this, and I think it's so kind to the children.
Yes.
To be able to have holidays together and stuff
now.
Like that. It's so incredibly sensitive to the children, but it takes a special kind of people. Both sides have to be really special kind of people to be able to, both sides, and her.
Mm-hmm.
You're present because she's, you know. Okay, but then there's more. But wait, there's more.
Yes,
so
there
he
is
loses
more.
His job. You're concentrating. You're not hounding him for the money.
No.
You're okay, and then what happens?
So as July into August, we're talking about his unemployment. He filed for unemployment. We were waiting for it to kick in. By August to September, I asked him, well, what are we going to do about Jelani's trip? The child is Jelani. What are we going to do about Jelani's trip? Do you still want her to go? Well, let me get through this unemployment. We're still going to work it out. I don't want to cancel her trip.
Did you go back to work?
I went back to work in August of 2014. But we hadn't spoken. There was no communication whatsoever once I started back to work.
Why?
I just felt that the whole time I was out of work and the whole time I was going through what I was going through, There was no moral support. There was nothing. And
okay, so did you feel like maybe she should say, I got this one, once you were unemployed?
Yeah.
I kind of think that's what you think.
Yeah.
I think you have come to expect a lot out of your good relationship with your ex.
No, I don't think that's it at all.
I mean,
when,
how could that
when
be?
When I stopped working in July and we had that discussion and she asked me what I was going to do, told her I don't know.
Well, what you should have done is cancel it if you couldn't keep paying it.
Well, that was her choice. She could have canceled.
No. You don't tell me that she, you know, you tried to cancel and she didn't. That's not what you're
no,
saying.
No, I didn't say
right.
I tried
did
to cancel.
Did you want your daughter to not go on the cruise?
I did want her to go
okay.
on the cruise.
Okay, and you do understand that's your daughter from a different union, right? That's not her daughter.
Exactly.
Okay. Just want to make sure everybody gets, I mean, I understand that she calls her my daughter and mm-hmm. how does the mother of that child feel about that?
No problem.
It's no problem.
When she calls me, she says, I'm calling about your daughter.
It's okay. Not a problem.
Listen carefully to me. I love you people and I want to be in your lives. Like, that's what I want now. It's like, but Mr. Wells, I'm kind of disappointed in this and the fact that you end up here on something like this.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. Is it generally possible for two people who break up to still be close and friendly for the sake of the kids?
Yes. And because for the children, you will make your own relationship work.
It's a great theory. Do you think it happens in practice?
I think yes, if they consider taking care of their children and keep it.
Okay. So why do people fight so much after they get divorced, even when there are kids involved?
Well, when you break up a bond, I mean, people are going to have animosity, and that animosity is relevant to kids. I mean, the kids see animosity.
Fair enough. Going inside the courtroom.
You know, it's one thing if you said to her, I've been going through trouble. You should have let me pay you a smaller amount, you know, and then worked it out. But he just stopped paying and then said, I'm not going to pay you anymore?
I didn't just stop paying. I lost my job. There was nothing.
No, you paid without a job for many months after you didn't have a job.
Oh, with my unemployment until it ran out.
Right. And then why don't you have a conversation with the person you owe $300 every other month to?
My phone got cut off.
How are your fingers doing?
My fingers are fine.
So maybe you could, I would guess that I could reach 3 feet and touch someone's phone these days.
Of course.
Okay, so you could have called her, right?
Yeah,
Come on, Mr. Wells, you're disappointing me. You have like a great thing going where she takes your daughter. This is good for your son that you share too, because your son has a sibling who's, you know, best friend cradle to grave. You know, when you two are old and decrepit, you, those two kids can rely on each other to help out, and your daughter will be helping her out, and the son will be helping your, I don't know if she's your wife or your girlfriend out too.
Nah,
I mean, this is like the
there
best.
There is no more relationship between the son and anymore.
With you and your son?
No.
Why? Because of this?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm really mad. Mm-hmm. You have allowed, how much money's left?
I have $965 for the airfare, and the remainder of the cruise he didn't pay was the $658.39.
Over $1,600, you lost your son and one of your close friends?
I didn't lose them. When I was going through that—
Can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
Seriously, you had to do this to her and then lose your son? Apparently the price wasn't only losing her, which I thought was bad enough. So your son has not spoken to him in how long?
My son hasn't spoken to him since February 5th. He texted him for his birthday. His birthday was
February. Who texted who?
My son texted his father for his birthday to say happy birthday and see how he was doing and should he come by. And his father's response was, he was at work, don't come by. So he hasn't spoken to him since then.
No, you may not. Sometimes money costs too much. And this is one of those times. I am ordering you to pay $1,623.39 to the plaintiff. It boggles the imagination that you have let it get this far and that you would not have spoken to your son when you hear, I don't know what you think was going on, but when you hear what she just said, that your son feels that when he calls you, you brush him off, that better be moving something inside of you. I'm very disappointed in you, Mr. Wells. Good luck, folks.
Thank you, Anna.
So after losing this case, the defendant, the judge is very disappointed in you. You just heard her say that, her last words before leaving the bench.
It's not true. Not true at all. He's reaching out to me, so they say, but I've seen him multiple times, and he had nothing to say to me.
Well, do you regret letting this money issue become something that interfered with your family relationships?
I didn't let it come that way, so.
Well, what are you saying? What do you have to say about it?
Nothing.
All right, head right down there then. What is that?
I've been trying to figure it out for the longest. We've never had a barrier. We've always had good communication. It wasn't until he lost his job and he couldn't pay anymore that everything stopped. It's like, I'm no longer family. I'm no longer a friend. Everything that we've gone through for the past 20 years went to nothing after he lost his job. And I guess that's where he wants it to stay. I can't really make heads
pride's
or tails
a,
of it.
Pride's a good guess.
And it's costly, too.
Harvey?
You know, I gotta say, this is really a sad case. It sounds like the animosity between the adults have really made the son suffer. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, George Royt. He says he bought a car from the defendant, but could never get the proper title for the car, so he couldn't legally register it. He isn't stupid, so he left the car on the defendant's lot while he waited for the title, but got one runaround after another for months. Now the defendant wants to charge him for storage fees? Is he crazy or something? He just wants the $2,126 he paid for the car returned, and he'll be on his merry way. This is the defendant, Alan Schneider. He says the guy buys this car, pays him, and then says he can't take possession of the car for another 3 months. What's he supposed to do, store the car for him free of charge? It's stipulated in their agreement that if the buyer doesn't take possession of the car in 14 days, then he can charge $50 a day storage, and that's just what he did. He's accused of having trouble finding a title. The defendant has filed a countersuit for $1,788.62, the amount he's owed for 46 days of storage.
All parties, please raise your right hand. Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket, the plaintiff bought a car from the defendant, but says that it was fatally flawed because the title was bad. But the defendant says the plaintiff made him store the car for months, and he wants $50 a day for storage. It's the case of, here's what's in store for you.
Thank you, Douglas. George?
Yes.
How do I pronounce your last name?
It's George Royt.
Royt.
Yes.
Mr. Royt, you're suing Mr. Schneider, okay?
That is correct.
For $2,126, the amount that you paid for a BMW that he did not allow you to have. And you have a counterclaim against him for $1,788.62 for storage and the cost to rekey the car. Okay, what happened?
Well, I bought the car of last year of November 14, but I want to beat on eBay for $2,026.
Okay, and this is for a 1991 BMW 850.
Yes. 850, yes. And then I was required to...
So the total amount was how much?
$26.
$2,026.
Yes, about $100 there was for me cost because I was going back and forth. They're going to the police to try to make a police report.
$2,026 was a purchase price, okay.
Yes. And I was required to put a $500 deposit on with PayPal. I did that. And then he said that you have to come with the rest of the money within 24 hours. Otherwise, you're going to lose the $500 deposit that you put. So basically, the next day, I made a payment of $500 on PayPal. And then the next day, I left early from work to go and give the rest of the money. So when I was there, I called Mr. Allen. And he says, well, I'm not in town. I'm in Pennsylvania. Well, I'm in, he said that he's not in New York. There was, he gave
me... So did he authorize you to leave the money with somebody at the business?
Yes, yes.
Did you do that?
Yes, I did that.
Okay. Is there any dispute about that or no?
No dispute,
Your Honor.
All
right, so then what happens? Did you take the car?
No, I didn't take the car.
Why didn't you take the car?
I had no papers.
Oh, there were no papers because he wasn't in town?
Nothing, yeah.
And he didn't leave a title behind?
No.
You didn't leave a signed title for him?
At the time, to answer the question, no. The answer for that, the reason for that, was that the auction stipulated when he originally contracted with eBay to pay within 24 hours the $500 deposit.
Right.
Within 3 days, he was supposed to pay the balance.
Right.
It took him about 3 days to pay the initial $500 deposit and about 7 days to pay the balance.
But you accepted it.
We accepted it
okay,
with my agent.
Okay, so that's done. So then
that's
why doesn't
dispute.
He have the car? What happened?
He then indicated to the person who I authorized the car to be there with, his name was Richard, he said he could not remove the vehicle off the premises. He could not. George Royd could not remove the vehicle off the premises for 2 to 3 months. His mechanic was not able to take delivery
you
on the vehicle.
You deny having said that.
No. What I told him, I cannot pick it up right now, but I said when I get the papers for the car, of course I could pick it up. But how can I pick up the car with no papers?
Right. So when you get back into town, don't you just clear this up, sign the papers, and he takes the car?
The actual provision of the auction payment constructions was that when he completes this, everything is paid and he takes the vehicle away and he's able to take the vehicle away, that's when the title would be actually...
That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would any... First of all, I wouldn't pay anybody who wasn't handing me a title. I wouldn't do it. But, you know, I guess you got a really good price and you probably got a better price from the next guy and kept his money. Is that what happened? Did you sell this car again?
I sold it 45 days later.
Exactly. How much did you sell it for?
About 20.
Why is a guy going to take the car off your premises without a title? He needs the title. That's part of the sale. Show me where it says, by the way, you got to drive off and then somehow mysteriously we'll meet again and you'll get a title. Tell me where it says that.
I'm going to show it to you right now.
Yeah, show it to me right now. Hand it to my bailiff.
But the vehicle is not drivable, Your Honor. That's the problem. The vehicle was a salvage.
Even less.
Vehicle.
I'm going to pay money to tow the car when I don't even know if you have a title? All right, give me a second to look through this. Seller's payment instruction. Where does it say, and then you get a title later?
No, title will be conveyed when delivery arrangements have been made. I think it's in there.
All financial disbursements must be clear before title is conveyed. You brought cash?
Yes.
Then the financial disbursement is clear. There's no checks to clear. There's nothing else. You said to me, it's right in the instructions about I don't have to convey title until he takes it off my property, and that's not what this says. So now that we've established that that's not true, tell me why you, unlike every other vehicle conveying seller on the planet, do not have to sign a title and hand it over to the man. So now you've kept his $2,026, and then you sold it to somebody else for how much?
I think $2,300, $2,400.
So you've made $4,300 off of salvage? It's not bad for you, right? If you can, not bad business if you can get it. If you can rook people like that, it's pretty good for everybody.
Well, naturally,
not good for you. It's not good for me because it's raising my blood pressure, but it's awesome for you because you get to sell the car twice. How do you justify what you're saying? Do you have any proof? Show me some proof.
Yes.
Show me proof that the man said to you, I got to store it there for, and not only that, you have the hubris to have a counterclaim against him for $1,788 for storage. 46 days of storage. According to you, you're trying to get the car all this time.
No.
How are you trying to get, what's going on?
No. What happened, I said, because I went to the police station to try to make a police report.
When did you do that?
When I tried to call him, he gave me a running around.
What would
time.
He say to you?
He asked me, what time do you finish work?
What are you doing?
He goes, like,
you're looking for texts that have to do with this case, right?
Yes, and I'm trying to get a voicemail record so I can let you hear it.
2 o'clock in the morning, he says, when you finish work, come to Long Island so I could give you the title. You call me 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning to go and get the title for the car? You know, so then I went to the police station. Police said,
wait. Did, at some point, did he tell you, okay, time's up? Or did you say, that's it, I'm done with this rumor?
Yeah, I'm done because I said, he said,
How long after you gave them the cash, did you say, that's it, I'm done?
The most, I would say, up to 2 weeks.
All right, and then are you a texter? Do you text?
Yes, I text.
Okay, do you have your phone that shows the text?
No, I don't have the phone.
Okay, man. You do though, right?
Yes.
Let me see it.
Okay. Let me get that.
So you're suing him for $274 in storage and then $1,514.62 cost to recar the key?
Rekey the car.
Rekey the car. Why?
He would not give me the keys back so I could resell it.
How can I give you the key back when the car belongs to me? It's my car. I paid
Show
for
me
it.
The text. Show me the text.
Well, he could have easily told
you. Just show me the text. I don't get how when a guy has paid you in full for a car, you don't make yourself available.
I was available and I made myself available.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay,
yes,
so that's
right.
Fine. At 2 o'clock in the morning, is he right?
Was it no, he's not right.
Okay, so let's see the text, because the text will give me the
flavor.
He said
he couldn't make it.
Make sure he's not erasing anything.
Right,
okay.
I'm not erasing.
I know. That's why he's standing right next to you on your elbow.
Stay right by my side, sir.
This is not my first rodeo.
I like that. Good.
Okay.
You can look at the whole string you're on.
I am. It's what I do.
Please.
It's what I live for.
She can go scroll through.
Yeah, that's what I do.
I sent him a copy of the title, everything. We had an appointment. He said it was raining. He couldn't make it.
Stop talking. Stop talking. Did you leave him a message on 11/22 on eBay?
Maybe.
He says, he texts you. You say you left me message on eBay. Where is the title of the car?
Yes.
He answers, with me and my person. You say, what do you mean? I told you that I had to make sure of where to sign it. And now that I have that worked out, you can have the document when you pick up the car.
We made an appointment at the Colony Diner, Your Honor, which he failed to show up for. I think that you'll see in the text. It was
2 o'clock in the morning to come to the diner.
Wait, did you make an appointment to come at 2 o'clock in the morning?
How can I get 2 o'clock
did
in the morning?
Did you make an appointment to come at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, I didn't make an appointment.
Is that a yes? You made an appointment to come or no?
He told me to come 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. And then I started
thinking. That's not an appointment. Did you make an appointment?
No.
Okay, and you say I'm going to see evidence that he did. What time do you finish work tomorrow night? 1 a.m. Text me when you leave work and I will give you the exact address. And you say, okay, so you had a 1 o'clock appointment at the Colony Diner. 1 a.m. appointment.
1 o'clock in the morning.
I don't care. I wouldn't have made it. You made it. That doesn't mean you get to go, who would make that appointment? You made it. December 8th. Hi, alien. Where are you? And you say, I'm in Connecticut. What happened Saturday night? You never showed up. I was waiting for you at the diner like we said. I was too much rain. When do you come back? How much are you offering to pay the storage charges? Because now it's almost a month. Ooh, that's sassy. I mean, the problem, he hasn't given you the title because you guys can't meet up.
So would you buy a car for a great price at an auction, great price, if it didn't have title?
No.
Why?
Because you can never register it and it's never gonna be street worthy.
Fair enough, but I mean, aren't there ways of getting a title? I mean, great price, like the best price you can imagine. No title, would you do it?
No, I wouldn't. Because you can't drive here in LA if you don't have a title.
Or New York or any other place.
Yeah.
And you know what? Smart man, smart woman. I'm serious, do not do that going inside the courtroom.
When did you sell the car?
December 31st.
Okay, so.
And he told me to sell it to another person. I didn't want to sell it.
We haven't gotten there yet. I'm in the text where you say to him, I need to know how much money you're giving me before you release the title. According to my email, you now owe $750 at $50 a day. But you'd never said that before then. So what was it that made you say this? Is that he just pissed you off leaving you in the diner at 1 a.m.?
Let me tell you something. I happen to like this gentleman in the beginning of the transaction.
So why would you say something like this instead of just getting rid of the car and giving him the title? And then it isn't until you have a 1 o'clock in the morning appointment that he doesn't make it because he claims that it's raining and he leaves you hanging there, which I think is intensely rude, that you for the first time bring up the storage charges. All right.
We had previous conversations, Your Honor.
I don't see that anywhere here. So he says, okay, so you want $750 more from me. I see you like to play games with me. No problem, my fiend, my friend. No games, you say. Then make an appointment that you will keep. It is that. All of a sudden now you're going to charge him storage because you got pissed off that he didn't make the appointment. Hey, Al, I am tired of these. Just want you to return my money. George, I am in receipt of your lawsuit. Please drop the keys. On January 5th, you tell him drop the keys to the car in question between 9 and 6:30. If you do not return the keys, I will be forced to hire a professional auto locksmith to rekey the ignition, door, and trunk locks. And the price for doing that will be well over $1,000. When I see you in court, then we will talk. Okay. So in looking through all of these texts, here's a flavor of what I see. The two of you are trying to make an appointment, and what happens is you make a plan, which you agree to, at 1 a.m. And why didn't you meet him there?
Because it was raining very hard.
But you didn't even call the guy to tell him, hey, it's raining too hard, but I can't
make. Did he call me?
Why should he have to call you? He's sitting there at the appointed time
the
appointment.
He could have texted me like half an hour before. He says, George, I'm here. I'm waiting for you.
You know he's there. You made an appointment. I'm reading the text.
How come I know he's there? Because
you made an appointment for 1 o'clock for to be there, and you know that you made an appointment, and you know you weren't there. And then if you know you're not showing up, you could have the decency, because we wouldn't be here if you did have the decency, to text a guy and say, listen, I'm really sorry. It's pouring down rain, and I can't make it there. I don't want you waiting there for nothing. And that's when he then plays Canis Mas Macho with you and decides that you have to pay storage charges.
Initially,
did you actually pay $1,514.62 to rekey the car?
Absolutely.
Let me see the proof. So wouldn't it make more business sense? You're a businessman.
Yes,
wouldn't
I am.
It make more business sense to just get this guy out of your hair and pay him back his money, because you're going to resell it. You have it resold to the next guy, and then get the keys in any event. So you paid somebody $1,514.42. Can you show me the canceled check?
I paid him cash.
Really? Why would you pay? What did the other guy buy it for?
$2,500.
Okay, so you want me to believe that you paid $1,500 in order to sell it for $2,400. That's what's going on.
It's a positive.
Okay. So here's what we have, folks. So everything is fine until December 8th. And then you stand him up, which was rude as can be. It's all about him being rude. Both of you had so many opportunities to take it down a notch. And you wouldn't have had to pay $1,500 if you had said to him, meet me in my office, I will have your money, and you will give me my key. So yeah, I'm gonna order you to return to the plaintiff $2,026, the entire amount that he paid you. You don't get $100 for being bothered. Your counterclaim against him is for $1,788.62 for storage and the cost to rekey the car. Because of everything I've just explained, it's zero on the counterclaim. That's my judgment. Good luck, folks.
No, you can have the keys, John. It is the keys.
All right, so there it is. This case winds up like that. What are you thinking coming out?
Well, you know, we had a contract, and the plaintiff, in my opinion, did actually, you know, he basically violated the contract and breached it.
Well,
the judge didn't feel that way.
Yeah, well, you heard what happened in court. You should have made a better deal with him.
Well, I would agree with that, but it wasn't easy with this plaintiff. It was very difficult.
Would have worked out better for you had you done that. All right, head right around the corner this way. All right, step on in here. And what was that you handed over at the end of when the case ended right there?
The keys from the car.
Yeah, the keys.
The keys from the car.
Somebody finally gets the keys.
Yes, of course. Because I made that offer before. I said, Alan, better give me back my money. I give you the keys. It's not a problem, you know.
Yeah, but you don't show up.
Not 1 o'clock. I started thinking 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I knew
what
something
time?
Was wrong.
What time's convenient for you? 12 midnight?
No.
How about 11 p.m.?
It's not good. I told him Saturdays, Sundays, whenever on the free days and weekend days I could come. And
all right. Harvey?
So the truism here, Kurt, is that you never ever buy anything, whether it's a car with title or anything else, unless you have clear right of ownership. Do not get suckered into something where there is not clear right of ownership. That will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, John Napakowski. He says he rented an apartment with an outdoor deck, and when he moved into the place, the deck was knocked down and gone, and it took the defendant 9 months to build a new one. The defendant was a nightmare landlord who made up rules as he went along. He moved out and is suing the louse for the $5,000 he is definitely owed. This is the defendant, Rafael Uyola. He says he told the plaintiff the deck was being replaced before he moved in. The plaintiff still owes him rent, and he has some nerve taking him to court today. He's pretty darn sure the judge is going to toss this clown out of her courtroom, and he's going to be elated when he leaves the victor. He's accused of rubbing a renter the wrong way.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff rented an apartment with an outdoor deck, or so he thought. It was knocked down, but the defendant says the plaintiff knew the deck was going. It's the case of what a deck.
Thank you, Douglas. John and Laura Naparkowski, you're representing both you and, is that your wife?
Yes.
Okay. You are suing Rafael Ulloa for $5,000, $2,500 of it in rental rebate that you believe you should get as a result of there being no deck.
Right.
And we'll talk about that in a second. And $2,500 for moving expenses because you had to move because there was no deck. All right. Or you had to move back to Florida because there was no deck. I'm dying for you to make sense of that. Go ahead. Talk to me. Tell me what happened.
Okay. Well, in July 2013, I drove up from Florida to Yonkers to look at the apartment. Looked at it. My wife wasn't with me, so I called her from the apartment. I said, this house is okay, you know, but it has a deck, and the landlord agreed to let my wife use a parking space in the driveway. So we decided to take it.
Okay, what were you coming to Yonkers for?
Well, we have friends. My daughter's up there in Yonkers, in Port Chester.
So you wanted like it's kind of a vacation pad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you're renting the place out, and how much are you paying in rent?
$2,500 a month.
Okay, and according to you, when you see it, there's a deck.
Right.
And it isn't until you move in that you hear for the first time that the deck is going to be replaced.
August 16th, we moved in, we went upstairs, and we see the sliding glass door barricaded, and there's no deck.
Explain to me how this place is. You say it's an apartment, but it sounds like a townhouse or a
duplex. It's a two-family.
A two-family. And then who lives in the other part of it?
He lives in the middle
floor.
He
does.
I live.
Okay. All right. And is the deck on an upstairs?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And when you get there, you realize the deck has been completely ripped out?
Yeah.
And according to you, you never knew that that was going to happen. It had never been discussed before you rented
I wouldn't have taken the apartment. That was the main reason we took the apartment, because I had ordered a grill and a couple of chairs to sit outside.
According to you, you told them from the beginning you will have no deck?
I didn't tell that, Your Honor, I didn't tell that we're going to have no deck. I told him we're going to replace the deck.
When did you tell him that?
When he saw the apartment, I told him, we're going to have a nice deck. We're going to knock this one down. This is wood. So we're going to have concrete. And he said, oh, okay.
Okay.
And now
well,
he claimed
that he didn't know. But the problem was, okay, he says you didn't tell him that.
No,
but let's assume that you did. All right. When was the deck completed?
Well, it was a big problem with the contractor. The contractor was taking all his time, which I was very upset about it. And he knew. And he also was upset, and I told him, go and tell the contractor. I already told him.
Well, yeah, but, you know, there's a saying, okay, and I know this because I come from a contracting family. Cheap, fast, good. Pick two. Okay? You can't have all three. We're talking about 9 months, right?
Yeah, it probably took about eight or nine.
Yeah, that's a really long time.
It was.
All right, so for 9 months, the guy didn't have, we'll do it your way, a concrete patio. And 9 months, of course, is not a reasonable time, right?
Well, I expected myself to be completed.
No, I know.
Because I want this thing to be finished. I don't want all this dust on my house.
No, I understand. So then what happens? He doesn't finish it you move in what month?
August 16th, we moved in.
Of what year?
2013.
Okay, and it's completed when?
April 15th.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right.
All right. Then when do you decide? Until April 15th, you were paying your rent complete, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And you stay until when? When do you move out?
July 30th.
Did he pay June rent?
Yes, he didn't pay July rent.
And then July rent, he lived out his security?
Yes.
All right. So now, let me ask you, how do you figure he owes you $5,000? $2,500 is what you figure he owes you that you never asked for, rebate until the end of your lease once you were moving.
I told him many times that I don't like paying for something I don't have use of. In October, when I was up there, 2013, he pleaded with me to go speak to the construction guy. And I said, hey, that's your problem, not my problem.
Yeah, I agree.
But I did anyway, because I went there and I asked the guy, I said, is this going to be done by the end of October? He said, no. I told him and I told the landlord, I'm going to get in touch with my attorney. In May, I sent them a letter, a certified letter.
Yeah, I know. Once you had already, were already moving. What propelled you to move?
It was three parts of that.
What made you move?
Well, then he started to come up with all the, way after we moved in, a couple of days after we moved in, he started with all these rules.
Like what?
We had to take our shoes off when we came in downstairs because he didn't want anything dirty.
Meaning the common hallway between the two?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And what do you say to that? Did that come up for the first time after he's living there? Because, if you made me take off my shoes downstairs, I might not like that.
So, okay, the plaintiff thinks he's getting a deck, say, but the deck's gone when he moves in. Is that grounds to end the lease?
Yes.
Why?
Entertainment.
Oh, yeah, but he still has the apartment.
No.
Yes, he does.
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't take it because I would buy it for probably depending on the size of it.
It's a nice deck. It's a nice deck. Grounds to end the lease?
I don't think so. I think the price should be readjusted because having a deck does add value, but I don't think the lease should be ended.
It's not a big enough thing. You're the tiebreaker.
Yes, it's a
big fair thing. Enough. Fair enough. Going inside the courtroom.
Well, we want to be clean. My wife.
Yeah, I know, but is that something that came up later?
No. Every rules, everything I told him in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm gonna make you take your shoes off every time. I think you didn't.
No.
All right, let's stop. And so I agree with you that you're entitled to something for the lack of the deck. Because I believe that even if I go by his theory, which is that he discussed it with you that it was going to be a new deck, even if I go by his theory, you're still entitled to something. Maybe not what you're asking for. Tell me why he has to pay your moving expenses. $2,500 of moving expenses.
You know, we wouldn't have moved if...
wouldn't have moved to Yonkers if there wasn't a deck?
No. Okay. No, we finished. If he agreed to rebate me some of the money for the deck and stop with all these rules, we would have stayed there.
What other rules did he put on you?
When we first moved in, we had a problem with one of the toilets in the master bedroom. And so we called him up, and he told us that in the future, only use 3 sheets of toilet paper because he didn't want it to clog the toilet.
Did he say that, or did he say don't use a big wad of toilet clogs?
He told me to use 3 sheets of toilet paper.
Did you tell him to use 3 sheets? No. How do you know how many sheets of toilet paper their particular body takes? Like, how does that, like, you know, what did you say to him?
I just told him, listen, the new house somehow I built with a small pipe. Don't put a lot of paper in it because that's going to happen.
Did you discuss this number of sheets?
No.
Where did you end up moving? Back to Florida? You moved all your stuff back down to Florida and you no longer kept an apartment in Yonkers?
What we do now is we stay, my wife comes up, she'll stay with our daughter in Port Chester. No, we use a spare bedroom that she has.
That she always had, even when you rented this place?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The problem is that she has a big chocolate lab that's not doing so well, and so the dog used to sleep in there because...
So wait, you had to rent an apartment because she wanted the bedroom belonged to the dog?
No, your daughter's dog?
No. I'd have a thing or two to say to my daughters if they picked the dog over their mother, but okay.
I didn't say that.
That's all right, I got you. All right, I'm just teasing. All right, so let me just understand this. He needs to pay for your move to Florida rather than your move to a different apartment in Yonkers.
Yeah, and that's why I said
the lease was over when?
And the 31st when he moved out. But the problem...
Well, then why would he pay your moving expenses? You were going to move anyway.
I had to move because of all this...
No, stop! You don't have a right to the place on the 1st of August. That's not your place. Your lease was over. You had to move unless he gives you another lease. So, stop it! On what theory does any human being who you no longer have a contractual obligation with because your lease is over have to pay your moving expenses? Where would that ever be right?
No, we would not have moved.
And you would have what?
I would have asked to renew the lease.
And he could have what?
Then he could have said no.
Exactly.
Then it would have been a different story.
So then he didn't violate a duty to you that would owe you $2,500 because he could have said, I don't like your glasses, I don't like your attitude, and I don't want you living here anymore. All right, I got it. Now, you are calculating how much he owes you how? A rent rebate for the deck. How?
I take the total number of rooms, including the deck. I get a figure for each room. I multiply that out by 9.
Because you figure the deck is as valuable in January as a kitchen.
Sure.
Sure. Were you seriously going to be out there with your parkas?
I've barbecued in the wintertime.
I've barbecued in a hurricane.
Okay, torrential downpours, I barbecued.
What about something different, which is the dust and it sounds like nothing was going on, but the dust. And because they ripped out completely the deck?
Yes.
Did you have a problem with dust?
I have a problem with dust a little bit.
That's worth something. All right, okay, thank you folks. I think that's worth a rebate of $150 per month. And when I multiply that, 8 months. All right. So based on what I think the rebate should be, that a rather significant part of it wasn't there for all that time, I'm going to order you to repay him, not the amounts he's asking for, 0 on the move. And on the rent rebate, I find that he's entitled to a $1,200 reduction in the rent. And therefore, I'm ordering you to pay him $1,200. That's my verdict. Good luck, folks.
Thank you.
All right, here comes the defendant here. What's your first comment on this outcome?
Well, I don't think he's right because it was not my fault. It cost me double to build that. I had to fire the first contractor.
It's not his job to get it built. It's your job. What about all the rules? Are you a little wired a little tight there?
Well, my wife is a cleaning freak.
Oh, she.
and she wants everything clean. And these people were not that clean, I believe. They was throwing everything all around the garbage.
You were just enforcing the rules of the boss then?
Yes, yes.
Okay, smart man. All right, hit right down this way. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. So so you satisfied how this comes out now?
Well, I would have liked the true amount of the deck amount, you know, which is $2,400.
And you would have liked the move, too, but you didn't get that either.
Well, yeah, we wouldn't have moved if you didn't come up with all these rules. The rules, this lease says the rules had to be posted or given to me in writing, and they never were. And I don't think his wife is the clean freak because she never said a bad word to me, my wife.
She didn't tell you three sheets. He did.
No, he did. I'm telling you, that's the truth.
Harvey?
I got to say, you kind of nailed it. The point is that the damage has to be really significant in order to end the lease. Otherwise, it really does just become a reduction in rent.